Hello and welcome to a very special presentation from In the Money Media, one of our most anticipated shows of this Belmont Stakes Racing Festival. As I walked around Saratoga yesterday, I had at least three people come up to me and say, where's the pro player show? Are you going to get Duke? Are you going to get Sean? The answer is yes, and that's what you're listening to right now. Peter Thomas Fornital, very excited to be back with you from the Little House on the East Side as we approach this Friday. The Friday is just hours away. We'll do a little bit of quick commentary on that before diving deep into the Saturday card. The Saturday card, folks, if you haven't noticed yet, we're talking about the Saratoga equivalent of 24 hours of Le Mans. We start at 10:45 in the morning. We go all the way to 8 p.m. at night. It is a marathon, not a sprint. Going to have to pace ourselves accordingly in whatever activities we choose for Saturday between eating and drinking and betting. But I'll tell you what, I'm pretty close to having my opinions finalized, but these two guys, either of them individually, let alone them both together, can often turn me around from an opinion or help me include a horse in a spread race or find an additional key. Can't wait to hear what they have to say. We'll start with a man who's also here in Saratoga. He flew in. He's on California time, so it's awfully early in the morning for him. He's Duke Matisse. Duke, how was the trip in?
Trip was fine. I got in very, very late on Wednesday night, so I'm still stuck on a little bit of the California time, so it is a little early for me, but, you know, we'll make it work. I ran into some guys, fans of the show yesterday at the track, and nice. Hopefully they're listening because I gave them the winner in the ninth. So 13-1 ain't too bad for a start.
That's not bad at all. Was that the Jana Antonucci horse?
Yeah, I like that Antonucci horse a little bit. So
what was your angle on that one?
She just, as a two-year-old, had two rough trips. And I don't really pay too much attention to speed figures when they're that young and those short of distances. And I just thought, for the price, she was worth the shot. You know, and she drew the rail and I don't mind the rail going 5.5 because you're on the track. It's not a shoot type race. So.
Right. Well, great points all, and a very nice price had to survive that brief inquiry. But it was fun to see Jana Antonucci's name among the winners yesterday. Speaking of winners, our next guest, he's coming to us from Lexington, Kentucky. He was meant to be here in Saratoga at one point, but life, you know, it gets in the way. He is your record-setting Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge reigning champion. He's Sean Borman. Sean, what's up, brother?
Oh, not much, man. How are you?
Things are good. I mean, the vibes are excellent. The sky is blue at the moment. I'm looking. It still sounds like some storms might roll in later this afternoon, but there's a non-zero chance, famous last words, non-zero chance we're going to get away with this. We'll see how it all plays out over the course of the next 48 hours weather-wise in Saratoga. I'll say this. At no point during the week has the forecast been better than it is right now, so that's certainly a trend in the right direction. We'll start there with our little weather report. But, Sean, I know you had a thought on one of the races happening Friday. Why don't we start there in this very interesting running of the New York Stakes?
Yeah, I was a little interested in Aspen Grove as a price opportunity. So I think she was sort of up against it her last two and could be sort of hidden improver. That's going to offer some good value. So I'm probably going to single her in a lot of the picks and just hope she can win.
Interesting. It's such a salty crew. I was thinking of her personally a little bit more as an underneath runner, but on your stuff, she looks good enough that she might be able to participate on the win end. It sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, I think she'll have to jump forward a little bit, but you know, with a 20-1 shot, I'm willing to gamble on that.
Tell you what, there's some other interesting prices in there. Not that the low end of the market doesn't also have big chances, but I gave the likes of American Sonia a big shot in there. Did you do any work on her?
No, I did not, actually. I think I probably need to look at her a little more carefully. Yeah, I don't love her one race at Saratoga.
Oh, interesting. That was part of my case for her, was that at least she handles the USA conditions. But I do think she's gotten better since then and has to improve off that run in France. Just another horse that I think will be all of 8 or 10-1 to mess around with. Did you have any of those favorites you were like afraid of, or was this just one where the value was such you weren't going to worry about the verticals and just using Aspen Grove in your horizontals and trying to figure out the rest of it from here?
Yeah, I mean, Warlike Goddess is obviously, you know, she's obviously really solid. I'm probably not going to mess around with verticals in here. I'll just make my pick plays and go on with it, because I, you know, there's a lot of live runners, so it would be, you sort of water down the exactas and stuff using too many of them.
We had a tremendous friend of In the Money get some stake success yesterday with Marshall Graham winning the Jersey Girl. That filly will be bound for the test stakes, presumably, should everything go okay. Would be very appropriate to have another in Craig Burnick and Glen Hill Farm get the job done in that New York Stakes. We'll see how it all plays out. All right, let's move on to this Saturday card. Does anybody have anything they're interested in these first three allowance races, or should we move to the stakes portion of the card?
I've got nothing.
Nothing special. Nothing that would stick out. So I think we can go to the...
Let's talk True North then, Duke. This is an interesting race. We've seen a few of these in recent years in New York racing in general, where we have a sprint race without what appears to be any kind of scintillating pace. Who do you think is going to, you know, you're so good at the race design aspect of it. How do you see this pace playing out in the True North, and who do you like to be there on the wire?
Well, pace-wise, probably Rotney going to the lead, I would guess. He's not super, super fast. Like you were saying, there's not one of those just speedball horses in here. I think Gunnett and Rotney maybe be the two that line up first and second. That being said, I think I like Accretive, even though I thought I heard I-Rod was cleared to ride. Is that true?
That's what I heard this morning, that he the x-rays came back negative and he was going to be riding even today.
Yeah, I hope I-Rod's back to ride this horse. But, you know, the one thing that worries about me about Creative is the Lasix factor. She's been on Lasix the last two races and looks like it improved with Lasix, so I'm a little worried about that. I'm hoping it's not the Lasix that did it, just because I think Creative might be a little bit overlooked in this spot. The obviously horse to beat is Gunpilot. Asmussen just seems to run its race every single time. So, I mean, the race goes through Gunpilot first, but I'm going to try to just sneak Accretive by him maybe in the stretch.
Yeah, to your point about the Lasix and Accretive, those were also longer runs. Maybe going the 6.5, maybe against this level of competition can bounce back. But I think the key point is people are going to be falling all over themselves to bet Gunpilot in this race, and with good reason. Maybe Accretive can sneak off with a little bit of value. What do you think, Sean? Did you have anything in this True North?
You know, I actually see it exactly the way Duke does. I think, you know, he nailed the pace scenario. I think Gunpilot is probably the most likely winner, but I also like Accretive as sort of a price alternative. You know, the Lasix thing, it just makes these races so tough with horses like him, because you just, you know, you've got to factor it into your, you know, what is value calculation, and it's just really hard. But I think anything around that morning line or higher, he's a definite play.
And both of you would be covering some 5-4 there. There's no desire to bet against the 5. It's just that the 4 is going to add some value to the mix potentially.
Yeah, I think so. I think, there's not much else to go on in here. So, I mean, I think the rail horse would be the only other horse I would probably throw in, because I think he'll get totally overlooked from the inside. And, it is a tough post going 6.5, but I think that horse could get in the try maybe. But I don't see a ton to bet there, like a 5-4 exact, and maybe a little win bet on the 4, maybe small tries throwing the 1. But, I mean, there's nothing huge to go off in that race.
Some wild breeding on the 1. Some interesting Pennsylvania breds getting into the mix there. Definitely a horse that'll benefit if they do unexpectedly go a little bit faster early. But, yeah, I get your case to maybe sneak into the try and really make this thing pay a little bit. Let's talk about the poker. A really fun race. I'm very excited to see Kaza Creed back at Saratoga for his 7th year in a row. We don't get too many stories like that these days. He's certainly the one that that I'm rooting for from a sporting point of view. From a gambling point of view, I thought there were stories to be told about Mysterious Night as well, but very curious to get your guys' thoughts on this one. Let's start with you this time, Sean.
Yeah, you know, I think Kaza Creed is, you know, sort of a standout in this race to me. He's just the best horse. I don't know if you can bet him at the price he'll be, but you know, I think he's the most likely winner. The rest of this field doesn't do much for me. I might take a shot with Kubrick as a horse to go along with Kaza Creed if it's paying okay, but. You know, I don't love Carl Spackler. I would try to bet against that horse if I could.
I hear that logic, especially if he's going to be anywhere near Kaza Creed on the morning line. He just doesn't quite look as fast, does he? What do you think about this poker, Duke?
Yeah, I prefer Kaza Creed over Carl Spackler myself. So I'm in that same boat. Kaza Creed what a amazing horse he is. I mean, he's won four times at Saratoga. Just a true racehorse, so you got to root for him. Even if you're not wagering on him, I like the idea with Kubrick actually to get into the mix somehow. I don't really have much else to say except there might not be a lot of pace in this race. The way these guys ride nowadays, this race could be one of those walk along. So if somebody did walk on the lead, they might be like Buick from the rail. Maybe I don't like the horse per se, but I tell you get the lead at Saratoga on the inner, you know, going a mile and you only go 48 and a half, you're tough to pass. You know, it could be one of those types of races.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do tactically with Mysterious Night. They kind of got it wrong in the Hall of Fame the last time he ran here, but that's not him. He doesn't have to lay down those kind of pace figures. What I'll say for him is he definitely had a miserable trip in Saudi. And I thought his Maidan races over the winter showed some real improvement. I would expect him on the buyer scale to run considerably faster than the buyers he posted in the U.S. those previous starts. So I thought he was usable based on that. I think Dove had one of those Maidan races estimated at around 100 on the buyer speed figure scale. So I think he's, you know, that last race is ugly, but if you're willing to give him an excuse for it, maybe one you could mix in. And I think you guys have nailed the other two horses of interest there. But it does seem like that race. Remember that one time, Sean, somebody gave us a hard time for on one of our shows for being negative about a bunch of horses and asking, you know, what good it was to be negative. Well, if you can find races where you can be negative about horses like Carl Spackler and, no, I'm not super negative on Talk of the Nation, but nobody's mentioned him to this point. He's going to be sub 4-1. When you can find races where favorites like that can be ignored, you're finding the right pool to fish in, as it were. Is that a fair way to say that, Sean?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I sort of prefer, you know, negative tips or negative, you know, opinions on horses. That's where you find all the value to me.
Let's talk about the Grade 2 Suburban going a mile and a quarter for this field of 8. Both JK and I were quite high on Ben Doug in this spot as one who we thought would get a perfect trip, you know, forward sit for a horse that, at least on the stuff, the commercial stuff that I'm looking at, Sean, has some finish. How does Ben Doug look on your stuff?
Yeah, he looks good. I think you guys are probably right. He's probably the most likely winner in here. I just think this is a bad race. You know, the two horses I was interested in were Ben Doug and Kruby, but I can't bet the 10 furlong race and just take the two favorites or two of the three favorites. So I'm just going to pass on this one.
Gotcha. What about you, Duke? Any interest or any ideas on how one might survive and advance in the Suburban?
Yeah, I think the Suburban came up a little bit weak. I kind of agree with Sean with this race. I don't really have a great opinion. I'm a little worried that I'm going to talk about the Lasix factor. I think Ben Doug could be one of those horses because his worst race that he's run, you know, in the United States was off Lasix, and he was 1-2. That worries me, especially since I think he'll be favored. So I'm a little hesitant to take a shot with him at 8-5, you know, and that kind of thing. So I think Kruppi's probably the best horse on paper. But Kruppi needs pace, and I don't see a lot of pace for Kruppi here. So I think this could be a weird result. I don't have a good feel for how this race is going to go.
If there was a lot of pace, could Masked Parade get involved potentially? Could that, you know, talk about a weird race? I'm assuming that means maybe a weird result. There's one at 12-1 on the morning line, who's a horse that, you know, over the years we've said plenty of positive things about on these airwaves. I didn't like him here really just because of the pace scenario, but as you talk more, Duke, sounds like I might want to have at least a backup with a runner like that who has bits and bobs of form that would make him competitive.
Yeah, it seems like Rob Atrus has come back to life recently, too. I think that's an interesting play. You'll definitely get the distance. You won't have to worry about that because he's been running a mile and a half. So he's definitely an interesting horse. I mean, I think this race could be trouble for horizontal plays. You might have to use a lot of them in here. So tricky race.
Any others at a price you'd want to name or number check before we move on?
Not really. Charget's been disappointing. I mean, I think he's got races on his form that could win this race, but he's been very disappointing as of late. So he wasn't one that I was looking at. I know people will bet on him because he's always bet. So
yeah.
He might be one to throw out, you know. It's just, I think there's just not a lot to go on there. You know, everybody runs similar speed figures and there's not enough pace to rely on, I think, for a horse like Kruppi. So, tough race.
I have a Todd Pletcher question for both you guys. Pletcher has both Charget and Kruppi in here. He's now won as many races in the last week as he won in the entire month of May. Are we willing to say he's out of his funk, or do we want to see a little bit more form from him before, you know, we can confidently back his horses at this point? I mean, what happened in May with him was, it had to be the coldest stretch of his career. 3-56, two of the winners sub 1-2, all of them bet. Do you have any concerns about the form of that barn at this point, Duke, or are those three wins in a week, two at Monmouth and the one yesterday, enough to make you worry that, or make you think that whatever hoodoo was there is gone?
I mean, it's a possibility. Todd points for Gulfstream. It seems like he just does his best running at Gulfstream. So I could see him going cold after leaving there, you know, because the horses got to all ship up here and they were all probably geared up to win down there. So, I mean, I don't have a good feel for that, but I'm not the biggest Todd Pletcher fan. So I think, his record in the Derby is just horrendous. If people want to, you know, look at records, he's like 2-80 in the Derby. So, I mean, doesn't surprise me that he's 2-56 lately. So,
what about you, Sean? You usually dismiss these kind of things in favor of just wanting to look at horses as individuals. But when a trend is that extreme, I assume you do at least notice it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just need to factor it into your value calculation that he could be a little cold still. But, you know, I mean, he's a Hall of Fame trainer. He's won every big race you could possibly think of. I'm not going to actively try to bet against him if I like the horse, but you just got to build that into your value calculation, I think.
I think that's a wise answer. Let's talk about race 7, the Ogden Phipps. This begins the pick 6 on Belmont Day. I'm very interested to see how the handle yesterday was wild. I assume that's going to be the trend going forward, especially if this weather does start to cooperate. This is one where I've heard some enthusiastic, randomize is going to wire him supporters, including one of the people who we have on these airwaves from time to time. Peter Rotundo Sr., one of your cronies out there in the backyard, Duke, is all about team randomize to reverse form with Idiomatic from the Breeders' Cup. I couldn't get that creative. I just thought, like, Idiomatic looked like the goods once again, who was going to get her preferred trip. Is this a one-horse race, Duke, a two-horse race, or is it more open than that?
I think this race is wide open, believe it or not. I think Idiomatic is vulnerable. She caught it, you know, I think she's really good on those wet tracks, and she got the right trip for me last time. You know, I wrote down she wasn't that impressive, even though she did win. So at 3 to 5, I have to go against. I think two horses here that got big shots are Soul of an Angel, the 4. Sappy Joseph acquired this horse last time, and the horse ran absolutely unbelievable and out of nowhere. And I think horses like that, he gets Irad to ride it. I just think this horse might be coming up to an amazing race, and I got to take a shot against Idiomatic because she's just going to be so low. I think she might be lower than 3 to 5. And I can't dismiss Raging Sea, who's won 3 in a row and just seems like a real sharp horse. And, you know, Chad points these horses for these races. So I'm looking at 4 and 6 in there.
Very interesting. Sean, how about you? Are you more with Idiomatic, or are you rowing in with Duke and the idea that maybe this could be a vulnerable 1-2 type shot to start the pick 6?
No, I completely agree with Duke. I've got idiomatic and randomized as both declining. So I can't really bet either one of them. I thought the 4, even a horse like the 2, I thought was, you know, live at a price in here. I just see this as completely wide open.
Very interesting. Very interesting to hear you guys agree on this. In terms of a pick 6 play, strategically, would you both be comfortable leaving out Idiomatic completely in a bet like that, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a pick 6 sequence that I'm probably going to get that interested in. I just don't feel like I've got many strong opinions in some of these races. But if I was to play it, I think I would just try to leave her out and create some value that way.
How about you, Duke? Is this a sequence you're likely playing, and what would your approach to Idiomatic be there? Defense views or leave out?
I wouldn't play her on a defense, you know, play, because that doesn't seem to be like a logical thing to do. You know, you don't back up with a 3 to 5 shot.
Right.
I'd have to either totally toss her or include her, you know, it's one or the other. I'm not gonna play her on a smaller ticket, that's for sure. You know what I mean?
Indeed. Do you think you'll end up playing this pick 6?
I might, because, I mean, it's nice to come out and single a horse like Soul of an Angel and play like a small ticket, you know, because you get a horse like that to win, and the whole ticket, you know, is worth, you know, 15 times more than it would be if you use 3 horses in the race and, you know, spread. It just seems like a good move to take a horse like that and play that a small ticket and take a shot.
And I assume you wouldn't make that your only play on a horse like Soul of an Angel. At that price, you'll have other things going, and then essentially that pick 6 just becomes like almost like a wonderful way to top up if you happen to be absolutely right about everything in the sequence.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's nothing better than singling horses that, you know, in small fields too. You single a horse in a small field like that, and you can create some huge value in a, and not only a pick 6, and a pick 3, and a, you know, and a pick 4, or pick 5, anything like that is a great way to start.
Let's talk about the Woody Stevens competitive field of 12 going postward in this one. Sean, is this a race you had any more interest in?
You know, I think this race is really hard. I think the pace could get extremely fast in here. But I also think it's the type of fast pace that's going to hold together, because there's just no legitimate, you know, closers. Nobody in this field runs really even close to par on my late pace stuff. So, you know, I hated the horse last time, but I'm a little interested in Vlahos on Saturday. Just, you know, I think they're going to have the potential to be best of speed. And just sort of stretch the field out and get these other horses off the bridle a little bit, to where they're not going to finish at all, and he could possibly win, but then I would probably bet against him the next time too. So,
what about Bookham Dano to be that closer? He doesn't look very strong in terms of your late pace stuff from his USA races, but I was curious how that fast Saudi race looks.
Yeah, he's just not. You know, he's not an elite finisher by any stretch of the imagination. So he's probably going to get a pretty good trip. But, you know, if they go really fast and he's too far back, I don't have any faith that he could actually make up that much ground against some of these. So
my interest in him is you have a number there that just doesn't really make any sense if you're looking at the DRF staring you in the face, you know, they somehow came up with that. I don't know, maybe it even is the number in regular time form. I didn't look, but you see that 105 and it just, his form just looks very flat in time form US and DRF. But, you know, the figure makers, we know Randy Moss, who made a figure for that race, had that as 100 on the Beyer speed figure scale. So it's just another one of these that I thought it was kind of buried and I thought he'd get the right kind of case scenario. So I wanted to get your thoughts on Bookham Dano. Duke, was he one that you were considering, and are you with Sean on the Vlahos Flahos getting the right type of situation?
I don't mind Bookham Dano. I think the one post could become a factor here. Seven furlongs from the rail isn't really the greatest spot in the world. There's got to be pace here, even though I think Vlahos is the best speed. I love the cutback on Vlahos because I actually bet Vlahos last time coming off. I think we talked about this. I think we did a show that that time we talked about Vlahos. He just ran an amazing first race where he just ran them off their feet. And now cutting back from a mile to seven, we already know that that race is a real good race because he's the gray, won the Preakness. So we got no problems with that speed figure. It might even be higher. I think the pace figure in that race is really good. So Vlahos and Nash are must uses. I think Prince of Monaco, you got to talk about, who was 3 for 3 and then ran into Fierceness in the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, Baffert's looking to come here and win. So I think that race is just those three horses there, 7, 8, and 9, I think. I think maybe I'll key Vlahos again and place him exact as 8/7, 9.
Have you heard anything, Duke, about how Prince of Monaco's working?
I didn't look yet. I think that report for me comes out. It'll come out later, you know. When, you know, we're recording early, so I think I'll get it later. But I did not hear anything. But I would assume 111 and 1 out of the gate can't be a bad work.
No, it looks fast for sure. I just wasn't sure if it was, you know, oh my gosh, fast, or just typical talented Baffert graded stakes winner fast.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the Grade One Jiper, going 5.5 on the turf, competitive looking turf sprint this time around. Duke, we'll keep it with you for your thoughts on this one.
I haven't really watched any of the Star of Mystery races. I hope Sean has more information on that horse. I'm a little worried about the way Appleby's horses have. I didn't like the way his horse raced yesterday in the last.
Yeah, that was brutal.
That was a very poor performance, and I'm a little worried about his horses. So I think the race goes through Cogburn. Cogburn was super impressive at Churchill last time from an outside post and just stalked and pounced and just was just really, really good. And if he runs like that, I think the rest of them are running for second. I think an interesting horse, though, in here is the 11, Philo di Arianna. I like that race. I mean, I like the Cogburn race. I like the way that horse closed inside at Churchill, and sometimes the inside at Churchill's not as good when it's not firm. And I just think that race might be the best two horses that are coming out of it. I might just take them right back again.
Interesting. I would think Mischief Magic might also benefit if you're right about that being the key bit of form. I guess for you, the Appleby factor, you'd have to mix that in. I just feel like that horse is interesting. If you like that race, I think that horse is interesting just as the presumptive one to be making a late move, who might get, I know not many Applebees ever get ignored, but I figure from the 12th post with all the other ways to go in there, that one is at least worthy of discussion. But would you be playing against because of your fear of the form in the post, or would it be one that you'd include?
I'd like to see him. I wonder if he has, does he have horses running today on Friday? I'd like to see one run good before I make my decision. But obviously, I would use if I thought his horses were running well. So, because he's third, he was third in that race. So I mean, I can't really fault him. So, I think Appleby had a
weird.
Didn't he have a situation at? Didn't he have a situation at Aqueduct where his big favorite lost and the other one won?
Yep. We've seen that. We've seen that before with him too, for sure. The race with, DeTori, this is terrible that names aren't popping into my brain, but yeah, DeTori was on the big favorite, and you ended up running the big favorite as if a rabbit for the other one.
yeah, so I just don't know about his horses, but maybe Sean's got more to talk about those horses.
Yeah, I'm curious. And just to go back to Siskiny for a second from yesterday, I mean, looking back at it, that was a fast pace for a 2 mile race, but I mean, he went out like a light. He went from double handful to empty as fast as a horse can. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to just let the pace be the excuse for that. I was a little curious, like you, to wanting to see one of them run well before getting too excited. What do you think about this Appleby discussion, Sean? And what do you think about the Jaipur?
You know, I think the Appleby, you know, Siskiny was fucking dreadful yesterday. So yeah, I'm sort of with Duke. I'd like to see one of his horses run pretty good, but you know, Star of Mystery. That race was won by a Hong Kong horse, and another Hong Kong horse ran in that field. So I've got a pretty good feel for a figure there and the talent level. And you know, I've got Star of Mystery running like mid to high 90s based off that race and some of the other ones. So he fits, or she, yes, she fits.
She's just a 3-year-old filly.
Yeah. You know, and Mischief Magic, I think he's probably the best finisher in there, and I imagine they're just going to, you know, ride him cold and tuck back to last and try to make one run. So, you know, I think he's usable at 8-1, and I think you're right, he could get sort of overlooked in the betting here. But I've got, you know, I think this is a very competitive race. I can't really knock anything Duke said about the Cogburn race and him specifically. I've got a lot of these horses running basically the same figures. So this would be a sort of a spread in the picks for me, spread and press kind of situation. There's nobody I'm like going to key or anything like that. This would just be a survive and advance for me.
I'm tired of Big Invasions Act at this point. JK is still with him. Do either of you guys have a strong opinion one way or the other?
Like Saratoga, I mean, that's the one good angle you can take with Big Invasion. So, I mean, I can't toss them. Like Sean says, this is a wide open race. I mean, it's a 5.5 furlong turf race. It'd be a mad scramble. I mean, Dancing Buck is a horse that is going to appreciate the cutback, I would think, to 5.5. You know, it's a wide open race. I just went with the Cogburn just because I just visually thought he was really good last time. So
it was definitely impressive. We'll see how that pace shakes out there. Did you have a quick thought on Big Invasion, Sean? Seems like the kind of horse you'd be against. Almost has to be a decline horse for you.
Yeah, I don't understand, you know, why he ran so bad last time. I mean, that's just an awful race. So I don't really know what to do with him. And in fairness, I've never been on the right side of that horse. He runs when I don't think he should, and he, you know, so I don't know what to do with him at all. I would have to use him, I guess, in a big spread, but I don't have any faith in him at all.
Let's move on to the Met Mile. It's just a six pack, but it's an interesting race. I think a lot of people will have it down to a match race between National Treasure and White Abario. Sean, is that how you see it? And who do you like?
I had trouble with this race. I think those are the two best horses if they fire. But I've got questions on both of them, and I don't particularly love the rest of this field. I'm sort of at a loss here, to be totally honest.
Another one that you're not super interested in betting, it sounds like. And hey, with all the different betting options between the 2-day wagers and everything else, you have an opportunity to just not play this race potentially. It's the Met Mile, but it's only a 6-horse field, and there's a zillion other races on the day. Folks, by the way, have asked me about what all the 2-day wagers are. We actually created a blog post if you want to check it out. InTheMoneyPodcast.com/Naira will give you a look at all the 2-day wagers and all the single day wagers too that are special for Friday and Saturday. Be sure to check that out if you're interested in. Duke, how about you? Any more conviction or interest in playing this year's Met Mile?
Well, it's a tricky race. You know, at Saratoga, this race comes out of a chute. So this is like a strange Met Mile. Usually Met Miles run at one turn.
That's right.
At Belmont. So we do have a tricky race in a And I think White of Barrio might be the horse that you'd have to take a shot against. His performance in Saudi was horrendous. And at 6-5, I don't want him. You know, I mean, you can't bet a horse off a horrible race at a short price. So I think National Treasure is the horse to beat. He's got tactical speed. I think at a mile, he'll be laying close. And I think he'll get pace to run out with Hoist the Gold, who I was dead wrong on last time. I think I gave him out. He was dreadful. I think an interesting horse is Post Time. I've just noticed this horse Post Time, he just never gives up. Like, he's always in these spots and he just makes these runs. And I think he's a horse that, I don't think he'll be 7-2. I think he'll be more like 6 or 7-1. And I think, because National Treasure is going to be about what? Even money. White of Barrio is going to be about 8-5, right? You would think.
Feels right.
Yeah, I think Post Time will get a little more value. And I think I'd probably be leaning on a 2-3 exacta. I just think Post Time is a really, really nice horse that hasn't gotten his chance to show everything he's got. And I think he's got more than the form suggests.
It's an interesting point, and this is a horse that's been up against it, I would say, situationally in the last two. Timeform US had that track as speed favoring the last day, and those early fractions were not fast. Closed to get within 3/4 of a length of Messier, who's a decent horse, and then closed on the April 6th race in the Carter into those blue Timeform US fractions as well. And if nothing else, you do know Hoist the Gold is going to ensure that there's some pace here. Brittany Russell has been cold in New York and cold by her own standards, just generally speaking. But I think you're right, Duke. At the right kind of 7-2 would not appeal to me, but you're probably right. 6 or 7-1, especially just to use underneath National Treasure. National Treasure burns off all the speed. Post Time comes running to complete the exact. I'm liking that idea from a vertical point of view. Sean, you buy in that case?
Yeah, for sure. I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, one thing I think we should mention, though, is the way the wind pool works at the Naira tracks nowadays. Like, you know, you've really, if you're going to make a play like Duke suggested, you need to, if Post Time's like 6-1 to win, you got to make sure he's actually 6-1 or better in the exacta pool too, because they're so different up there nowadays because of the CRW rules.
That's a great point. I have noticed, I think some other, like, you know, I'm sure it's still true that Naira is not allowing the same type of access to the biggest CAWs in the wind pool. But I've noticed there's clearly some more CAW money coming in just because of how late it's coming in. I'm just presuming people having access to the pool more manually than what those giant guys have. So those ricks are still there, but I don't feel like it's quite as dramatic as it was even as recently as last summer. Duke, you'd know better than me. Am I on to something with that, or am I?
I mean, for me, I'm betting because I bet all the tracks. So, I mean, at the smaller tracks, it's ridiculous how bad it is. At tracks like Saratoga and Churchill, it doesn't seem to be as bad. And I like the way that New York kind of cuts off the wind. I assume they're still cutting off the wind pool at 2 minutes to post for those guys. But so it's better in New York. So I don't notice it as much like you're saying.
Let's move on to the Grade 1 Manhattan, 1/3/16 here. Competitive field of 9. This was one where I was all about the European invaders in this spot, Measured Time and Al Rifa. Curious to see how you think the foreign contingent, Duke, matches up against the locals, and if you have any idea of how you might be playing this one from this far out.
Yeah, again, this is the Appleby factor, and he's got a tough post. He's got the outside post. He's definitely talented, so Measured Time is the 9. It's just, again, for the show, this is a tough one because I want to see the Appleby horses run well before I bet on them. So
yep.
If people are watching Friday and the Appleby horses are running fine, I think he's probably the horse to beat. I'm kind of married to I'm Very Busy, the number 1, who had a horrendous trip last time. Just got, I mean, basically, you can cross the race right off the form. Got in so much trouble that acted up in the gate, got in tons of trouble, got shuffled, basically had no shot. And if you look at 2 back at Fairgrounds, the horse rolled home. I'm sure Sean has got to have a decent finish on that horse on that day. So I'm kind of married to the 1 here. So, and he will get pace to run at because the 4 horse is just a dead speed ball in here that'll just go to the lead and open up. So I'm not worried about the pace factor for him.
Could be a role reversal from that Turf Classic where I'm Very Busy took the money and Program Trading ended up getting the win. Here, I'm pretty sure Program Trading will be bet down considerably below where I'm Very Busy is. Certainly a cozy draw for that one, and I would expect a better trip this time around if the antics in the gate or whatever that was can be avoided. Let's start with that question, Sean, that Duke asked you. That race two back in the Muniz, how is the finish look number looking for I'm Very Busy?
I would say it's very competitive, but not like a standout kind of figure. You know, this race is sort of full of horses that can finish. So, you know, he fits but doesn't stand out is how I would describe him.
And what about the race generally? I wouldn't rule out this Al Rifa either, the Joseph O'Brien shipper. We'll have another O'Brien running in that form of that American Sonia we talked about in the New York Stakes. I know they love this one. I just love that form line from this one's race two back, getting within three quarters of Arc winner Ace Impact. And then I thought, you know, emptied out late last time at Longchamp, but had to need that race off the break. And Sharp Connections have pointed for this race for a long time. Horse doesn't look like he needs to love American Racing. He's big, grindy sort. But especially if we do get some rain, I thought this one made sense. On a firm course, I feel like maybe you could lean more towards the Chad Browns than these Euros. I when I capped this race, I was assuming there'd be some cut in the ground. What do you think about the general complexion of the field for this Manhattan, specifically the Europe versus America factor?
Yeah, I had trouble getting a read on Al Rifa. I don't do well with those French races because it's hard to find real good sectionals for them, so it sort of throws my whole process off. But I think just off the time form figures, he's definitely competitive, and you know, measured time. I think Measured Time could very well be the best horse in here, but I'm sort of with Duke. I need to see Appleby wake up a little bit, and then I don't really love the nine post for that horse. I like a goofy horse in here. I'm going to play the two. I thought that horse should have improved last time. It ran a little faster in the body of that race than is good for him, but still improved his late pace figure. And I think can sit a pretty good trip on Saturday. So I'm going to just mess around with him as a key and probably press him some in the horizontal bets.
Oh, that's very interesting. I like Ohana Honor as an individual and can absolutely see it. Has shown versatility, has shown talent. And you know, you don't need Sean's proprietary info to see the improve angle on this one. And, you know, we've seen this movie before, an honor code getting better with time and distance. You know, this seems to be the pattern for a lot of these. I think that's a very live 15-to-1 shot to potentially mix into things if you're looking for a price in the Manhattan. Let's move on to the Belmont Stakes, the big one. Can't wait to hear your guys' opinion. And I'm glad for this Belmont Stakes at Saratoga that we got. I think we have a race worthy of sort of the special feeling here where you have a Derby winner. You have a Preakness winner. You have a horse who many think, if he don't run straight, would have won the Derby. You have an exciting up-and-comer like Mindframe. Duke, where are you leaning in this year's Belmont Stakes?
Just one more point about that Manhattan. That was because the horse I was talking about was Nation's Pride. I didn't even realize he's running in the Manhattan.
Yes,
he's the one that was like 3-5 and the other and Silver Knot beat him, right? I was talking about
correct. That's exactly yeah. Right.
That was that scenario with the longer Appleby. In this case, I don't really think that would pan out because I don't like Nation's Pride, but just a point that I was just trying to make earlier. Now going to the Belmont, I don't really have a strong opinion in the Belmont. I think Mystic Dan is the horse to beat. I'm worried that he just might be these 3-year-olds this year. I'm not impressed with any of them. So, I mean, their speed figures are below 100, which almost all of them, which is very, very unusual at this point in the running. So I think Mystic Dan is the best ones of the ones that have run. I mean, now Mindframe is the horse. You probably, everybody's going to talk about. It's 2-for-2 and he won very easy in both both occasions. You got to worry about the mile and a quarter, but and the Todd factor and everything. And he's going to be over bet. You know, it's one of those, these horses that win by open lengths always get over bet. So he's going to be shorter than 7-2. So, I mean, he's the horse to beat, but do you want him at 2-1? You know, it's one of these things that I feel like he's going to be a big favorite in this race. I don't know what you think. Have you looked at odds anywhere else?
Yeah, Sierra Leone looks like he'll be the favorite, 6-4. It's R3-2 pretty widely with the bookmakers. I'll take another peek now and see if it's changed at all. But Mindframe's no doubt going to take a ton of money, whether he ends up being the favorite or the second choice in here.
I'm kind of against Sierra Leone. I just think for the price, Sierra Leone, I thought had a really good trip in the Derby. I thought the pace was fast. I don't think the lugging in was anything to really... I don't know. People made, I think, too big a deal about that. I don't think it was anything that was crazy. I just think he got a good pace scenario and ran second, and he's going to be way short for me. So, I mean, I don't have any reason why Mystic Dan won't beat him again, but because I thought Mystic Dan was closer to the pace that day. So, Dornock is the long shot in the race. I think Dornock might be the horse that's in the stalking position. If Mindframe goes to the lead, I think he might be the horse that's just sitting on him. And Dornock had a horrendous trip in the Derby. So I think he's a must use, and he'll be at least 15-1.
I had somebody make me a case on another show about Dornock maybe being on the lead in this spot. And if Johnny wants to stalk, and if I guess there's been some quotes from Lucas about Seize the Gray not needing the lead. Doesn't make sense to me. I kind of feel like all three of them have to go, and or maybe Dornock would just end up in the spot you're describing. But you think the most likely pace scenario is Johnny just trying to take the race by the scruff of the neck and sending him out there with Mindframe?
I don't know if he'll send, but I just think I think he'll be on the backstretch. I think he'll be in front. I don't like Seize the Gray at all. So, I mean, if he comes back and wins, I think that would be like the biggest upset ever. I didn't like him in the Preakness. I don't like him here at all from the one hole going a mile and a quarter. So I'm totally against. I just think this race, for me, boils down to maybe getting Dornock in the mix, you know what I mean? Because he's the value. I think he's going to be at least 15-1. I think he's got a better shot than that, and I don't have much else to say. I think Mystic Dan will hit the board. I don't like anybody else. I don't like Resilience. I don't like the Wine Steward. I don't like Antiquarian. I don't like Protective. I don't like Honor Murray. So I'm down to 3, 6, 9, and 10, and that's the only price, right? So I'm left with Dornock.
That makes it simple from that point of view. Sean, we actually haven't spoken on air since the Derby, and I know you know we had a big conversation on a podcast. I could sense you. It was sort of like I felt your presence in the Force, wanting to tell JK and I that we were idiots for saying that anybody but Mystic Dan was best in the Kentucky Derby. Was I interpreting that correctly?
And what the do you Force think must have been strong that day. Yeah, I said the Force must have been strong that day, because I was walking Norman the dog, thinking to myself, God damn it, you two are fucking going overboard on Sierra Leone. I must have been putting some vibes out. Yeah, I mean, I think I sort of agree with Duke. I think Sierra Leone got a perfect setup in the Derby, and you know, Mystic Dan just ran a as good or better race to me. As far as the Belmont, you know, I think there's a chance that Mindframe is just an absolute freak horse. You know, his two races, he's run elite level early pace figures in an elite level final in his first race, and still finished in a very good late pace figure. And he comes back at Churchill and sets a soft pace and runs an elite late pace figure. So, like, he's the kind of horse to me that, you know, I'm actually sort of interested in trying to find a Breeders' Cup Classic future on him, because I think he could be the best horse in the country by the time the Breeders' Cup rolls around. He's going to get a perfect trip. You know, I don't have any interest in betting on Sierra Leone, so I'm... and I sort of dislike the exact same horses Duke does. So I'm sort of interested in just playing Mind Frame over Mystic Dan and Door Knock a little bit and just go on with life, because I just think he wins this race easily.
What do you think about the pace scenario? How is it going to play out with those three potential leaders?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the guy on Seize the Gray probably sends again from the rail, and Mind Frame stalks him, and Door Knock's probably laying third in a pretty good spot, maybe fourth in a pretty good spot. I guess there's some kind of chance that they decide that, you know, the rating of Door Knock is not going so well, so maybe they send him to press the one, and Mind Frame lays three wide in a, you know, pressing position. But I think though it's the pace is between those three, and I would expect Seize the Gray to actually be on the lead. But you know, Mind Frame is the kind of horse that there isn't a bad pace scenario for him. He's sort of proven that he can do just about everything you want a, you know, tactical horse to do. So I don't think the pace really matters for that horse. Whereas a lot of these, it really does matter.
You know, Mind Frame from a betting standpoint is I think it's very similar to the Derby with Fierceness, right? We talked about this on the Derby show. Fierceness was a horse that I said you only want to use him on top. You don't want to use him underneath. I think Mind Frame might be that same type of horse. You want Mind Frame's either going to win, or I think he's going to run horrendous. You know what I mean? He's one of these horses that I'm not keying him second and third. You know, that kind of thing. So you put him on top. You can put him on top of the three and the six and play straight, you know, straight numbers. Or you can box things against him or play, you know, weird numbers against him using Door Knock and stuff. So I think it's that same scenario as the Derby. And it almost worked out in the Derby. We just didn't kind of give out Mystic Dan, unfortunately. But if we did, we would have been geniuses.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly right.
Yeah, okay. I was curious to see if you like Mind Frame enough that you would have some second and third. But it's probably either, okay, too much too soon, tricky scenario, maybe that gets him beat, or he is the goods. Those feel like the two scenarios for you guys on that. Let me ask a general question about, we do have two runners in here, Mystic Dan and Seize the Gray, making their third start in the 5 weeks. Does that factor into your analysis of them? I mean, I know, you know, obviously they're individuals and you like one and don't like the other, but does it matter at all? Is there, I had, and I liked the phrase when it was brought up on another show, somebody questioned, you know, whether from a load management point of view, to use the NBA term, Mystic Dan, you know, would be able to fire another representative race. Do either of you have any concerns about that as guys who like Mystic Dan?
You want to go on that, Sean?
Yeah, sure. I don't typically pay that much attention to that kind of stuff. I don't really see anything on either one of those two that makes me think they shouldn't fire. But you never know until they run the race. So, certainly with D-Wayne, like he's not averse to, he may run this horse again next weekend. and Mystic Dan, I know there was some talk about the Preakness being too soon for him, and I just never really bought into that either. So I think they should both probably run their race, and if they do, they'll probably maybe not Seize the Gray, but Mystic Dan should hit the board if he runs his race, I think.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. Duke tipped his hand before about him having figures on this crop of three-year-olds that are slower than the commercial ones, which have hit the just barely the three-figure mark. I did wryly observe after the Preakness that it almost felt like the Buyer Speed Figure team felt like it would be dissing the Preakness winner to not give a 100 Buyer Speed Figure based on my cursory look at things. But, Sean, where do you stand on that? How fast have you had the Derby and the Preakness in terms of just a final number, if you don't mind sharing?
No, I don't mind at all. I think they're both slow. You know, compared to history, I've got them as like mid-90s.
Wow.
And full disclosure, I had to sort of fake the Derby to get it to a mid-90. I don't think these are good, you know, good races or great 3-year-olds.
And well, that's I'm sort of seeing why Mind Frame is at the top of both of your short lists.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I've got Mind Frame rated like 3 or 4 links faster than anybody in this field. If he runs his race, you know, he should win.
Yeah. Yeah, the question with Mind Frame is a mile and a quarter. It's only his third race of his life, and he hasn't faced anything special. I mean, but Speed Figure wise, if you're a Speed Figure fan, you have to like Mind Frame,
right?
I mean, you just have to. I mean, because he runs faster numbers, right? So,
what about that question of the distance? I'm assuming Sean having that elite late pace coming out of the Churchill Allowance race. And that's an elite late pace while geared down, by the way, that you don't have too many questions. You know, Constitution, we've seen them get a mile and a quarter. And obviously Street Sense on the damn side feels like it shouldn't be a problem. So I assume you're fairly confident at least he'll be able to handle the 10 furlongs. But what are some of the other things you look at when you're trying to make that determination?
Well, I mean, I look at the late pace figures some. I look at the pace scenario some. Both of those things tell me this should be a problem at all. I mean, obviously breeding matters, but I just, you know, I tipped my hand earlier when I said I was looking for a Breeders' Cup Classic future. So I obviously don't think the 10 furlongs is going to be an issue. Now, it could be an issue, I guess, this early in his career, but to me, the kind of trip he's going to get, it shouldn't be a problem.
Any further thoughts on the distance question that you brought up, Duke?
I just worry that, you know, the third race of a life type thing, you know, like horses don't generally get a mile and a quarter that early in their career. That's the only thing that I question. I don't think it's ability. I think it's just, does he have the foundation to run a mile and a quarter in after 2 races? You know what I mean? That's always the thing. But these guys train differently nowadays.
Yep.
I mean, if this horse was running 10 years ago, you wouldn't like him at all, right? I mean, but the way these guys train nowadays, it doesn't seem like these guys, they seem like they can get the horses to run as far as they want off training, which is very strange to me because, like Sean was talking about, Lucas might run this horse next week. You know, that was the way to get the horses fit, right? To run them to fitness. And they don't do that anymore. It's a very strange world of horse racing we live in. And I prefer horses that run like Mystic Dan. You know, Mystic Dan ran in the Preakness. If he didn't run, I wouldn't like him in this spot, you know, but other people would love him. So it's a different world. I guess I'm still old school Lucas type. And even though I don't like Seize the Gray, I wouldn't mind seeing Lucas win because I think that style of training needs to come back. I think that's what's causing a lot of the problems we have in small field entries, you know what I mean? Because people don't want to run as much as they used to.
Well, there's no doubt it's better for the horse player and the fan when they run more rather than run less. And the trend is 100% in the other direction. We're just about out of time, guys, but I'll throw it to each of you for one more comment. Whatever you want, could be a closing thought, could be a question for the other, or we can just leave it here and get excited for 2 great days of racing. Sean, how about you? Any questions or closing thoughts?
No, I guess not. I mean, I could complain about the length of this card on Saturday if I really wanted to.
It does seem a little ridiculous, doesn't it?
It's insane. You know, I was watching the NBA Finals last night. They teased Game 2, you know, which is on Sunday. And I was like, what? They're not traveling. Why do they have 3 days off in between games? And it feels
TV, sort of the baby.
Same here. Like, what are we doing running for 10 straight hours on Saturday?
I mean, it's also got to hurt the town, I would think. Like, everybody's going to be at the track. I mean, not good. I'm surprised that the city would want it to be that way. I mean,
no, I don't think they do.
But it's just dinner reservations.
Simulcast money, guys. It's not TV that's moving the needle in this case, though a TV window might have something to do with it. But the reason for the length of it is, you know, it's a capitalist. Here's my defense of can you hear the air quotes? Here's my defense of it. We're a capitalist society, and they're going to make a lot more money this way.
That's for sure.
There are people that are more important to me personally, but
it's going to be a lot of tired gamblers after Saturday. Hey, by the way, Looms Boldly is on the card.
Yeah, we could have talked about him. I think it's just tough because he's not as fast as some of those horses, but if the track is playing kind to speed, if they don't take him seriously, he is back in form. And, you know, I'd like him better if it was 6 than 6.5. He has been known to empty out a little bit late. But, I made him my pick. Let's put it that way. Do you give him any chance there, Duke, looking at the race quick?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, he came back to life, I see, in his last, I mean, for sure. So I kind of like Life Changer a little bit in that race if people are betting the undercard. I think Life Changer might be a horse that doesn't like – well, we got to worry about the rain, too. If it's wet, I don't like Life Changer, only on a dry track, so – I don't think he appreciates mud, so I think he's better on a dry track.
One to maybe mix around with Looms Boldly in there. It'll be fun. I mean, it's kind of great. And then one of my Adelphi horses is in on Sundays, and we have friends coming in, so I'm gonna look like you know, I'm a poor man's Marshall Graham. I've got horses in on Saturday, Sunday.
Beautiful, got action.
Get to pretend to be a big shot for half a second, which is ridiculous, of course, but also a lot of fun. Guys, really appreciate you coming on here and doing this. The listeners love it. Duke, I'll see you over there today. Sean, maybe we'll do some deconstructing next week of everything we're going to see at this Belmont Stakes Racing Festival. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate you.
No problem. Hey, if anybody wants to be a real sicko, Shot 10 goes at 4 a.m. tomorrow morning, so you could get up and bet that whole card and then roll right into the 10 hours of Belmont.
Is that what you're going to do?
Could get almost 24 hours in.
Yeah.
It is Le Mans.
24 hours Le Mans. Let's do it.
Great stuff. Thank you, Duke. Thank you, Sean. Thanks to everybody out there for listening. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. If you want to do us a favor, you know, we love giving free content like this. Do us a favor. Go over to our YouTube channel and subscribe for us. Perrin is dead set on getting to 10,000 and getting that creator award from them. You'll make a little girl's day, and we would appreciate it very much. Till the next time, I'm Peter Thomas for Natal. May you win all your photos.